us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You now, dependent upon You even in this, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace given to us in Your Word and the power of Your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 5. For those who are visiting with us, we've in Communion Sundays been going through the book of Leviticus. And if you think that this might be a bit boring, everyone in the congregation can tell you that it's actually been a very exciting series. Yes. I'm going to assume that less enthusiasm is just out of shyness and not out of disagreement. But Leviticus chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 1, and we'll continue reading through verse 6 and chapter 6, verse 7. Leviticus chapter 5 at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of unclean livestock or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and he is unaware of it, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a man swears, speaking thoughtlessly with his lips, to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man may pronounce by an oath, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in any of these matters. And it shall be, when he is guilty in any of these matters, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin, which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. If he is not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord for his trespass, which he has committed, two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off its head from its neck, but shall not divide it completely. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second as a burnt offering, according to the prescribed manner. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin which he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he is not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he who sinned shall bring for his offering one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a sin offering. He shall put no oil on it, nor shall he put frankincense on it, for it is a sin offering. Then he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall make his handful of it as a memorial portion, and burn it on the altar according to the offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for him for his sin that he has committed in any of these matters, and it shall be forgiven him. The rest shall be the priest's as a grain offering. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks, with your valuation in shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, as a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for the harm he has done in regard to the holy thing, and he shall add one-fifth to it, and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity, and he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flock for your valuation. As a trespass, didn't get the pages turned there. As a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance in which he erred and did not know it, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely, in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whoever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish, from the flock, with your valuation as a trespass offering for the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have the privilege of celebrating together the Lord's Supper. And what a blessing that is for us here in our church. It has been quite a long time since we have been able to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And as we look at the trespass offering here, as recorded in Leviticus chapter 5 and 6, this is an incredible passage that teaches us about the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice on the cross and how he is to us an ever-flowing fountain of life. This is a passage that may seem to us a bit dull, and maybe we don't understand all what's going on here or what's being explained, or does this have any relevance for us today? But I assure you that it most certainly does have relevance today, and that it teaches us some very important truths. I hope that now your mouth is spiritually salivating now as you are ready for the Word of God. This passage deals with sins that we are unaware of or that we commit unintentionally. Sins that we probably would not even give much thought to, and we probably never even thought of. It deals with sins that we commit with our thoughts and our words and our deeds, carelessly or unknowingly. And how many millions of times in a day are we guilty of such sins? Where we sin and we don't even know that we've sinned, or we're not aware of it. How often do we say something that we shouldn't have? Boy, that happens a lot. All you have to do is smash your thumb, and that probably does something that you should say something you shouldn't do. Or say something that we don't mean. Or say something that we'll do, and then we don't do it. How often do we do something that we think needs to be done, should be done, and so we do it, but we're not even aware of how it might affect somebody else, or how it might offend somebody else, or how it might hurt somebody else. not only this, but even when we get to the thoughts of our minds, how often do we have that quick judgmental thought run right across our mind without even having a moment to reflect on it? It just automatically blares right to the forefront of our mind, where we automatically assume that when somebody did that, they did it with the worst possible intention, rather than operating under the principle of love, which is that we are supposed to automatically always assume the best intention. How many times do we do that? Not only this, but there's one thing mentioned in this passage that I would like to draw our special attention to. And that is what is found in verses 15 and 16, where we read, if a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring to the Lord as a trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks, with your valuation in shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, as a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing, and shall add one-fifth to it, and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. This was a sin in which the person mishandled maybe something in the temple, or anything that was dedicated to the Lord, such as a sacrificial animal, or the incense, or maybe their tithe, etc. Whether it was that they had made a mathematical error and hadn't counted up all their yield of the crops of that year, and so hadn't given a complete tenth to the Lord. Whether and that extends all the way down to maybe in bringing a lamb for the Passover, they hadn't treated that ceremony of the sacrifice of the lamb before the Lord as holy. That they had done it simply out of empty ritual and not out of worship of the Lord. It also includes times when there would have been something that they maybe had touched that would have made them unclean, and then they went into the temple and they were unclean, but they were unaware of it. This would also fall under that category. They would have entered into the presence of God ceremonially unclean and need a trespass offering for that as well. Now, children, we might think that maybe this all doesn't really apply to us today because we don't have a temple and we don't make sacrifices. So what does this have to do with us? Well, anytime we engage in a holy act, meaning something that is specifically dedicated to the Lord, whether that's reading the Bible, or whether that's praying, or singing songs of worship, or giving offering, or partaking of a sacrament, and the like. When we are participating in those things, if we do not regard God as holy, and if we do not regard what we are doing as holy, it is sin. And in this day and age in which we live in a culture where nothing is holy, nothing is sacred anymore, we quickly realize that that's something in our culture that even affects us as Christians. I've used this analogy before for you, but I'll use it again because I think it's helpful for us. Among Bible-believing Christians, what have been the books that have been the most influential and best-selling? Well, a number of times, over and over again, they have been books on the holiness of God. Why is that? Because for us who read the Scriptures, hear the Scriptures proclaimed on Sunday, we recognize that God is not ordinary. He is holy, holy, holy. And we recognize in our daily lives and so often how we treat God, we don't recognize Him as such. That there's something missing. And we look and we appreciate those books that have been written because they point us back to the God of the Bible and who He is. That He is the thrice holy God. Now, when we pray, when we sing, when we give our offerings, when we read God's Word or hear it preached, or when we celebrate the sacrament, we are to regard those things as holy, and we are to regard the God that we are listening to or speaking to as holy. And when we don't, we are sinning. How many moments, even in this service, have our minds wandered off in distraction? Whether that's the children's fault or not, I don't know, but, you know, it happens. Think of it this way. Think if you were called before the presence of the Queen of England, and you were going to receive a knighthood. And think about what that would mean if you waltzed into her presence as if you were walking into your own home. And you just said, "Hey, how's it going? What's up?" We wouldn't do that. It would be disrespectful. Or if while she was placing the sword on your shoulders and telling you about the blessing of the knighthood, your mind was off somewhere else, thinking about the after party, or maybe thinking about the games you were going to play afterward. How disrespectful would that be? And yet, how often do we do that to the Lord of all glory? Where He is the one that is blessing us right now. We are before His presence and He is blessing us. And yet we are so often that disrespectful. But that's the beauty of this passage. There is a sacrifice for that. There is a sacrifice for that sin. Before we move on to Christ as our sacrifice, though, I want to note one thing in passing, and that there is an important principle that's taught here in this passage, which is that as soon as we realize that we have sinned, we need to confess it to the Lord. But not only do we go through life and do we wallow in our sin and think, "Well, I didn't know about it and I didn't confess it right away," this passage comes to us and tells us that Jesus forgave it. That when we confess our sins before Him, even if it's many years later, we are assured of Christ's full forgiveness. So, it is with us, as soon as we realize that we have sinned, we should confess it to the Lord. Resting and trusting in the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross alone for our salvation. And as I said, that's the beauty of this passage. Because in the trespass offering, while it is something that is offered by the worshiper to the Lord as an act of confession, it's also a sign that points the worshiper forward to the sacrifice of the Messiah. which is the same place that the Lord's Supper points us to as well. And so this is a time in which we get to rest and trust solely in the saving work of Jesus to save us even from the sins that we are unaware of, or sins done unintentionally, or sins committed in the mishandling of holy things, not worshiping the Lord with godly fear. Christ died for those sins too. Christ suffered under the eternal wrath of God for each one of those sins. And can you see the tenderness of our God in this passage? We might read over this and just sort of read it as rote law, but that's not what's here. There is great tenderness of our God shown to us here. Great compassion to us. Because going back to the knighthood analogy, imagine if we were the queen and we were the one that was going to dub the person in front of us and they were the ones being all disrespectful. If they were the ones being disrespectful and we were the queen, I don't think we'd use that sword to gently tap on their shoulders, would we? The temptation would be, you ungrateful sod, what are you doing? Do you not know what I'm giving to you? Do you not know what blessing I'm bestowing you with? That would be our reaction. But that's not God's reaction. You notice that here in this passage? That's not God's reaction. What does God say? Does He say, get out of here, I never want to see you again? No, He says, come. He says, come. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me and receive forgiveness for all of your sins. This is what the Lord's Supper is saying to us. Jesus is calling us. Come. Come to me. Trust in me. Rest in me. Come to me with all of your sin. Give it to me and let me take care of it for you. Come into my presence and trust in my salvation that I have earned for you on that glorious cross. Come to me and partake of me. Trust in my death to be your death, your death to sin, and my resurrection to be your resurrection. Come and eat my body and drink my blood. Come and dine with me. That is what your Savior says to you today. And so let us come, brothers and sisters. Let us come in humble faith to the Savior who has saved us from all of our sin, the sins we know of and the sins we are unaware of. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gentle and compassionate way that you speak to us. We give you thanks for your patience with us, that you suffer long with us, for we are but weak children who have minds that run all about. We pray, Lord, in these moments now, that you would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And may we rest and trust Lord Jesus, in you alone, for our salvation. Give us that sure hope and assurance of your grace to us as we partake of your Holy Supper. We pray that you would assure us and grow us in confidence of the salvation that you have provided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.